This is the audio version of the book Jailer by Acharya Vijay Abhishekar Suriji Maharaj in the voice of Rahul Kapoor Jain. Chapter 1, Jailer. The saint asked the audience a few questions. Saint, who desires happiness? Audience, everyone, be it a poor man or a rich man, be it someone who is an infirm or is healthy, be it an educated person or an uneducated person, each soul desires happiness. Saint, when does one desire happiness? During the day or at night? Audience, all the 12 months, round the clock. Saint, who desires unhappiness and when? Audience, no one ever desires unhappiness. Saint, there are numerous companies throughout the world. What kind of goods would any company want to manufacture? A few persons from the audience, the very best. Some others, the most profitable. Saint, no. The goods may be the best or profit-yielding, but what if there is no demand for them? A company would like to produce only those goods for which there is demand in the market. No company ever makes goods for which there is no demand. Then why would a company called Nature produce unhappiness, as there is no demand for it in the market? Even if you were to give it away for free, no soul would want it. Everyone desires happiness and happiness alone. The question then arises is that when not a single soul desires unhappiness, why does nature bestow it on the souls? The answer to this question is definitely karma. But we want the answer in common parlance. For this, we have to carry out a survey of any one jail and ask its prisoners, how many amongst you desire punishment? What would the answer be? It would be no one. Now the question arises, if no prisoner desires punishment, then why does the court punish him so? He is being punished for his crime. The maxim that gets affirmed is, without a crime, there is no punishment. If a punishment is meted out, it follows that a crime must have been committed. When someone is punished, we start imagining his or her crime. For example, on hearing a lot of commotion in our neighbor's house, we assume the father is hitting the son, who's crying and shouting inconsolably. What has the son done? We may not know, but what we tend to imagine is that the son may have failed his exams or broken something, or he may have back-answered his parents. Similarly, if a log of wood is tied to an animal's neck so that it hits his leg on movement, thereby hurting him, one imagines it may have been one amongst many who was unruly and difficult to control. These examples affirm the maxim that there is no punishment without a crime. Let us now think of a different situation. The father is not hitting his son. Instead, he is praising him and giving him gifts. What would one imagine? The son must have been good. Hence, the second maxim that gets affirmed is, there is no gratification without a good deed. The erudite tell us to apply both these aphorisms in our lives. A life is a sum total of situations, physical, financial, family-oriented or social. From within these, those that are good and satisfactory are nature's gift to us. Those situations which torment us are a punishment accorded to us by nature. Sometimes, despite being extra careful with one's diet, controlling one's blood pressure and sugar by avoiding certain foods, where often the list of eatables that one avoids is longer than the list of things that one consumes. There will still be days when either one's sugar has gone up or one has a running temperature. Every day, one faces some problem or the other. On the other hand, another person who does not take care at all about what or when he eats is absolutely healthy. He has no complaints at all. Is this possible? Yes. How is this possible? Should a careful person be healthy or the one who's careless? Why does one see this contradiction? Nature wants to bestow the gift of health upon the second person. It tells him, eat whatever your heart desires and you will remain healthy. Not just that, nature also tells him that even if you were to eat a stone, you would be able to digest it and kidney stones will not be formed because I want to give you the gift of good health. On the other hand, nature tells the first person, I will not allow you to live in peace. You will have to undergo pain and hardship every day. A young, educated person who was experienced and had started his business after a well-thought-out strategy and thorough planning could not make money. Another young man who was not so well-educated and was conducting his business in a haphazard way became wealthy in no time. Why does such a thing happen? It is as if nature is telling the second young man, I want to gift you riches, even if you might not have run your business in an orderly fashion. I will make the people and circumstances around you so favorable that all that you will make is a lot of profit. Nature tells the first young man, you might have carried out your business with diligence, but I do not want you to succeed. I have immeasurable power and can make even your extremely trustworthy agents commit a breach of trust against you. I will change the market trends and government policies if need be, but I will not allow you to earn money at any cost because I want to punish you with poverty. Someone finds success easily and others do not achieve it even after striving hard and putting in a lot of efforts. Why reward one and punish the other? Who is nature's own and who is alien to it? The answer is simple. People who have done good deeds are rewarded by nature and wrongdoers are punished by it. A man stole, plundered and even committed murder. The police arrested him and took him to the court. The judge sentenced the criminal to 10 years of rigorous imprisonment and 10 lashes with a whip every day. The jailer made the prisoner labor from morning to night. In the evening, he brought out his whip and told the prisoner to get ready for his punishment. If at that time the prisoner had asked the jailer, what have I done to you that you are ready to even hit me? I will not be beaten. Instead, I will hit you back with a whip. Would it increase the punishment or lessen it? It will increase it. Is the prisoner wrong in saying so? What has he done to the jailer? The prisoner can say, let the person whose home I robbed beat me. Why should you hit me? I have not committed a theft in your house. Why should the prisoner take the jailer's beating? At the same time, if he does not take the beating, why does his sentence increase? A jailer only carries out the sentence as per the court's order. That is correct. The prisoner should understand that the jailer beats him not of his own accord, but because of the court's order. If the government proposes a resolution that there won't be a court in the entire country, there wouldn't be any jail, jailer or punishment, and that people are free to behave in any manner they please, and was to seek our opinion of that decision. Would we agree or disagree with such a proposal? Definitely disagree. Why? This is because we know that in such a situation, there will not be any law and order. There will be total anarchy and chaos. We will not be able to live our lives peacefully. The existence of law and order indicates that the court is active. And if at all there is any degree of disorder, it is due to the courts being inactive and lax to that extent. There is law and order in all the countries in the world and even in the universe. That means that there definitely has to be a court which is active. This court is what we know as Karma Satta or Karma Dispensing Authority. The Indian government considers only human beings as its citizens. Nature, which has set up this court of Karma Satta, considers all souls. May they be humans, animals, birds, crawling creatures, the tiniest insects, one-sense souls like vegetation, and in effect, all life as its citizens. The task of the court is only to authorize punishment. For example, the judge himself does not whip the prisoner. That job is assigned to the jailer. In the same manner, the court of Karmasatta only decides the punishment. But who performs the task of the jailer? The enlightened say that the jailer could be your own brother, your nephew, your partner, your servant, or even your neighbor. It could be your mother-in-law or your daughter-in-law. All the souls around us are the officiating jailers of this court of Karmasatta. Anyone from amongst these jailers is ordered by the high command to administer punishment to you when required. The person so ordered might not wish to do so, but he has to abide by the command. For example, the court orders someone to either abuse you or slap you or direct someone that this person has committed a crime for which you have to make him incur a loss of large sum of money. The orders are obeyed and your funds are misappropriated in such a way that you lose that amount. The person misappropriating your funds is carrying out his duty as the jailer. If we were to ask the abuser what harm had we caused him to abuse us in such a manner and that we would also abuse him back, what would be the outcome? Will our punishments be increased or decreased? It will increase. Do we want our punishment to be enhanced or mitigated? Mitigated. If we want to reduce the punishment, what is the remedy? Think about the prisoner. If he strikes a blow with a whip, his punishment increases. Perhaps he may not strike, but even if he retaliates or escapes, his punishment will increase. He may even take the blows, but if he tries to make mischief, his punishment will not be abated. There is only one solution for him to get his punishment lessened, and that is by bearing the blows patiently. The only remedy to alleviate punishment allotted by Karmasatta is to bear it with equanimity. Question: if we have the power to retaliate with twice as much strength, why should we tolerate anything? Answer: there is a possibility that the prisoner may be stronger and more athletic than the jailer. Yet, he must take the punishment calmly if he wants the sentence to be reduced. The question posed by you is, who was more powerful? Lord Mahavir or the cowherd who hammered the nails in the Lord's ears? Lord Mahavir. Then why did the Lord allow the cowherd to put nails in his ears? If he had challenged the cowherd and mangled his earlobes, the cowherd would have screamed and run away. The Lord did not strike, did not retaliate, and nor did he escape. He bore the terrible pain of being nailed with calm and composure. Why? This is because the Lord knew that the cowherd was a jailer who was merely executing the orders given by Karmasatta for his crime, and that retaliation would only end up increasing his punishment. What was the Lord's crime? In his 18th birth, the Lord's soul was born as Sripushta Vasudev, the emperor of three continents. Once, sleep eluded the emperor. He called his musicians and ordered them to play soft, soulful music to him so that he can fall asleep. However, the emperor knew that the musicians, having become engrossed in the music, would not know when he fell asleep. He called a guard and told him, "Once I fall asleep, you can tell the musicians to leave." In some time, sleep overtook him. The guard realized the emperor was asleep, but he became covetous to hear some more melodious music. "Let me listen to the music for some more time before I send away the musicians," he thought. The emperor had just fallen asleep and was unlikely to wake up. The music thus continued to play. The guard had not had enough. In the meanwhile, the emperor awoke. Let's say an IPL match is being telecasted and it is time for you to leave for work. Tempted, you decide to watch two overs, after which you would leave for the office. But would you definitely get up and leave after two overs? No. The 2 would become 12 and the 12 would become 20. Then it'll be another 20 overs of the rival team. This way, you would end up watching the entire match. From this, one can deduce that the senses enslave our soul. It is as if the senses are telling the soul, you may have decided to get up after 2 overs, but you're not free to act according to your will. You will not be able to get up till I permit you. The same thing happened to the guard. let me listen to the music for some more time and then some more. And in the meantime, the emperor woke up. Digressing from the subject, a question arises. Does music induce sleep or does it wake one up? It induces sleep. Then why did the emperor wake up? Maybe you lose sleep. Then why were the musicians called to put the emperor to sleep? The reality is that the music can either induce sleep or make it go away. One gets sleep only up to the point that the music is needed. Beyond that, it can awaken you. This point is relevant to all the issues. Things are beneficial only to the extent that they are necessary. Beyond that limit, they cause harm. For example, if you're used to eating 6 chapatis a day and then suddenly on your birthday, you decide to have 12, will you gain from this or lose? Lose. When you need new shoes, the cobbler measures your feet and says, "Sir, they are 9 inches in length." "Brother, why 9 inches? Make the shoes 10 inches long." Will this cause you comfort or discomfort? The rule that then follows is that a thing is beneficial only if it is necessary and is proper. Imagine that the expenditure incurred by you every month is 15,000 rupees. But you earn 1,15,000 rupees. Will you make a profit or a loss? Excess is to be forsaken. Does this rule not only apply to money? Those who amass wealth in the range of 5 to 25 crores have been sufferers of many losses in all likelihood. However, one needs a certain viewpoint to decipher this. A young man from a very small backward village whose childhood was spent in extreme poverty came to a city to try his luck, and fate favored him. Gradually, he became not only a millionaire but a billionaire. He had a son. He had a palatial bungalow with a swimming pool and a huge garden. He had a gardener to tend his garden. He had a bevy of servants and cooks for household chores. His son had a dog for a pet. If the son asked for water, milk was offered to him. If he called for one servant, 4 of them came forward. The son, who was brought up in the lap of luxury, grew into a teenager. The father reflected that even poverty was an important facet of life which he himself had experienced. He felt that even his son ought to experience it. He decided to send his son to live in the care of poor family for a week, where there would be no luxuries or any conveniences. There would be lack of necessities. Only then would his son realize what a struggle life was. He left his son with a known but a poor family in his own village. The village was situated on the banks of a river, at the edge of a jungle, and did not have any means of communication. A week passed before the father went back to bring his son home. He asked his son, "Were you comfortable?" The son replied, "Father, there is a vast difference between our lifestyles. We have a small swimming pool in our house, which is filled with chlorinated water, which stinks. My eyes burn every day because of the water. Here, there is a river flowing right behind the hut where there is fresh, flowing water. Father, I had so much fun swimming. Besides, at home, I have only one pet dog. Here, I have befriended 4 dogs, who I do not have to bother bathing or walking. Over and above, there are parrots, crows, and rabbits. This was really entertaining. At our house, we close the windows every night and switch on the air conditioner, whereas here, all of us used to sleep in the open, under a canopy of stars. In the moonlight, with gentle breeze blowing, I have never slept so well. The best thing was that the whole family used to sleep together, giving each other warmth. At our home, we all have our separate rooms, sister, you and I. There is no way of knowing who is awake, asleep, or is in need. Here, someone suddenly got high fever one night. Everyone woke up immediately. I got to experience what a family is all about. One person was pressing the sick person's leg, another was pressing his head, someone else was applying wet, cold compress to his head. The fever went down in an hour, not with all the nursing, but with all the affection and sympathy associated with it. In the morning, the patient was absolutely fine. Father, one day the teacher had asked us, which was the best therapy for healing? One student said allopathy, another one said homeopathy, while the third one said naturopathy. The teacher, rejecting all the answers, had said, sympathy. Father, I clearly understood the teacher's answer here. I forgot to mention one more important thing. Every night before retiring, the family used to gather together and talk about their experiences of the day. The conversations reflected everyone's love and trust for each other. As our family sat together for even half an hour, there are times we sit together to watch television. The irony is that though the whole family is together, no one is talking to each other. There is no enthusiasm to talk or to listen to anyone. Everyone is engrossed in the drama being enacted on the show. We become happy when the actors are happy and sad when they are sad. Is it as if they are our kith and kin? Now, there is not even the possibility of everyone sitting around together, as each one of us have TV in their own rooms. If one thinks with an unfretted, free mind from many points of view, one will realize that too much money is not a blessing, it is a curse. When one has excessive riches, each family member possesses his own independent and separate set of things. There is no need to either get together or to expect anything from anyone. Then how can there be affection between members? There is one more thing I will miss at mealtimes when I return home, said the son. What is it, son? Father, it is love. At our home, we eat food which is prepared by the cook, then put in the refrigerator, heated in the microwave oven, and finally served by the servants. Here, it is the lady of the house who cooks the food and serves everyone hot meals with a lot of love. The food served with such warmth tastes delicious and special. One young man went abroad to earn some money. He lived there a long time, worked strenuously to make a living, but his luck did not favor him. He had to return without earning a penny, but his mother yet accorded him a hearty, warm welcome since her son was returning after a long time. She could not afford to buy either mangoes or bananas at the market, so she brought cucumber. She sliced the cucumber and fed it to her son lovingly. The son ate the cucumber happily and with as much enthusiasm. In the end, there was one slice of cucumber left. The mother put it in her mouth and found it to be very bitter. She asked her son, "The cucumber was so bitter, why did you not refuse to eat it?" The son replied with a smile, "Mother, the cucumber was bitter, but the hands and the heart of the person serving it was so sweet. Wouldn't the cucumber then taste sweet too?" Father, we have packaged milk, whereas here I had fresh milk twice a day. I have become flushed with a healthy glow in just 7 days. It is good that you sent me here for 7 days, otherwise I wouldn't have known how poor and lonely we are. Despite having a family, we are without a family. How I wish I was born into such a wealthy family. Extremely wealthy people lack a family life and the affection of family members. They have irregular sleep and eating habits due to the nature of their business and therefore lack good health. They are forever worried about controlling their insatiable greed. If they fail in a new venture, they suffer tension and depression. Happiness to them is success and wealth. They are elated on seeing their wealth increase manifold. This also is a constant cause of worry. One hears of politicians, actors, cricketers, businessmen having stashed away millions in Swiss banks. These huge figures make them joyous. Could they get any other kind of pleasure out of this wealth? Audience, one can only do good deed if one has wealth. Speaker, this is a fallacy. Does poison give you life or death? Audience, death. Speaker, but poison administered by a physician can also give someone life. Audience, yes, but that is only one person out of thousands. The rest all die. The one person who lives does so because of the effects of his past lives. Therefore, poison only results in death, not life. Speaker, In the same manner, it is these very few rare, extraordinary human beings who attain punya on account of their wealth. The majority of the people commit bad deeds. Even those performing good deeds with the wealth do more evil deeds than righteous ones. It is important to go inward and think whether one has carried out more good deeds or evil deeds after obtaining more wealth, and how many of one's sins could have been avoided if one's income, which is more than is necessary, would be reduced. If one reflects on this honestly, the fact that manifest itself is the acquisition of more wealth gives impetus to increase impiety. Like it is erroneous to think that poison makes you live, it is also incorrect to think that one can perform good deeds due to wealth. Let us go back to the story of Lord Mahavir. The emperor lost his sleep as the music continued to play. The emperor asked the guard, "Were you aware that I was asleep?"
"Yes, my lord, I knew that you were asleep, but..."
"But what?"
I could not resist the temptation to listen to the music for a longer time, and therefore I did not dispatch the musicians."
Hearing this, the emperor's anger knew no bounds. "You rogue! Is my command more important to you than your wish to listen to music? Let me disable you so that you can hear no more." Saying this, the emperor ordered extremely hot molten lead to be poured into the guard's ears. Whose soul is this? It is the soul of future Tirthankara, Lord Mahavir. Karmasatta forgives no one, not even the soul of future Tirthankara. Let alone Gandhars, Devas, Indras, kings, or the rich money-lending businessmen. I imagine Karmasatta must definitely be letting one person off the hook. Who might that be?
You?
Maharaj Sahib, why would you imagine so? Let me explain. Today in our country, the sons of ministers and top officials commit indiscriminate crimes because they have the assurance that their fathers, being in important positions, will save them from punishment. Correct? It is then established that a crime is committed only by those who are not afraid of punishment. Therefore, when I see people angry and committing deceit, fraud, breach of trust, disregarding their consequences, I begin to think that maybe Karmasatta favors them. This is my imagination. Karmasatta spares no one. It even told Lord Mahavir, "You may become a Tirthankara, but be prepared to bear the consequences of your sin." As a result, the Lord had his ears pierced with nails. You have to answer this question truthfully. The Lord's ears got pierced because 1. The Lord's deeds were sinful, or 2. The cowherd who put nails in the Lord's ears was evil. Which alternative is correct? In the popular game show Kaun Banega Crorepati, Amitabh Bachchan the compere became a billionaire. The owners of the channel became billionaires. How many amongst you, the audience, became billionaires? There's a game show being run by nature even in this world, posing questions like the one just being asked to you. The correct answer wins you not only billions, but nature bestows upon you a reward that is beyond your imagination. The answer is the first option. His deeds were sinful. Is everyone's answer the same? Yes. Should we lock it? Yes. You're absolutely correct. Now, if we were to give some thoughts to our lives, for example, you have a daughter who's married far from where you live. She visits you after a year for a few days and starts complaining about her mean-spirited mother-in-law, as so many daughters-in-law do. I know most mother-in-laws who listen to my discourses oppose this statement and say it's quite the opposite. The definition has now changed. It is the mother-in-law who shed tears every day. Is this correct?
Yes, it is.
Then I have a question to ask all the ladies. Do you want to cry every day?
No.
Then do not become a mother-in-law.
But Sahib, what if we have a son?
Then hand them over to us. It is a million times better, and it is a matter of pride and joy to be known as Ratnakukshi Mata, rather than being known as mother-in-law, who is the root cause of acrimony. All the Shravikas are hereby recommended to conduct a survey of numerous women present in Sri Sangh even today, who have become Ratnakukshi Matas.
they have married off one son while consigning the other son to the path of restraint, that is monkhood. Your daughter is complaining, "Mother, father, I am harassed. My mother-in-law makes me toil from morning to evening. I have to sweep, mop, cook, clean utensils, wash clothes. She does not allow me to eat, drink, or sleep in peace. Moreover, she hurts me all the time with her bitter, harsh words. Father, I am so fed up." I now ask you a question. Your daughter suffers at the hand of her mother-in-law because A. your daughter's karmas are sinful, or B. her mother-in-law is wicked. Which of the two is correct? The first, the daughter's karmas are sinful. Will you only say this to me, or will you also say this to your daughter? Will you tell her that it is not her mother-in-law who is wicked, it is her own karma which are sinful? This is the correct answer. Nature bestows a grand reward for such an answer. It is to be understood that in the show Kaun Banega Crorepati, there were prizes for the correct answers, but there was no punishment for the wrong ones. In this game show of nature, just as there is a grand reward for correct answer, a terrible punishment awaits you for the wrong ones. The reward and the punishment both are beyond our imagination. We will reflect upon these later. This does not relate only to one's daughter. It relates to everyone. It could be a neighbor who is a nuisance and harasses you all the time, or even your younger brother who has become your opponent. He instigates the other neighbors and your business associates by spreading false rumor about you, because of which you have to suffer. It could also be the elder lazy sister-in-law who shirks her responsibilities, due to which the younger sister-in-law has to work hard all day. She is high-handed and talkative and keeps maligning the younger sister-in-law in front of the mother-in-law, other relatives and the guests. Due to all this, the younger sister-in-law is falling from grace. In life, there are numerous such tales of oppression. Sometimes such harassments come from many people, or it could come from just one person. In such a case, you should ask yourself, I suffer because option 1, my karmas are bad, or option 2, the person causing pain is bad. At all the time, it is the first option which is correct, and for which nature grants you a magnanimous reward. This is because the pain giver is only a jailer. The jailer may make you do hard labor, he may starve you, or if the court has ordered, he may even hang you. It is not he who is wicked, it is the prisoner's wrongdoing which is wicked, and for which he has to suffer. This is applicable universally. It is worth remembering and repeating that it is my own karma which are sinful. This is the only remedy to get a punishment mitigated and to receive a reward. During the 12 and a half years of Lord Mahavir's arduous effort for attainment of self-realization, he had to bear excessive hardships. But the Lord never regarded the persons inflicting adversities on him as evil persons. Be it Sangam, Shulpani, Vyantradevi, Katputana, or the cowherd. That is why he could safeguard himself from feeling any aversion or hatred towards them. He understood his own karmas were to blame. He was being punished for his own crimes. The above names were only jailers. He knew his punishment would be reduced only if he bore it with equanimity. Such thoughts fortify one's forbearance. A soul is then able to bear even terrible shocks with composure, for which nature bestows on it glorious rewards. Gold which gets heated in the fire gets the reward of pureness and luster. An unbroken stone which gets carved with a chisel gets the reward of becoming the idol of supreme, most revered being in the world. What applies to lifeless object is similarly relevant to all the souls. In infinite time, there has not been a single instance where people who have borne pain with even-mindedness have not been rewarded and instead been punished. Inversely, also there has not been an incidence where a person revolting against his tormentor has not been punished.